Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Save up to $450 on a Gibson Les Paul Studio Deluxe, up to $900 on a Gibson Les Paul Trad Pro 4, or save up to 20% on other select Gibson guitars. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, and if you want to advertise with us or have questions you want us to answer on the show, make sure you email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken, with me as always, Cody Westerlund. Cody, Nico's back officially.
Yes, at the Advocate Center for the first Bulls practice of the season on Tuesday morning. And the Bulls, of course, had two-a-days as they got practice underway. So Nico was there for two practices, fresh off signing his two-year, $27 million contract with the Bulls after it took, I think, 86 days, we said,
86 days
or so. But Nico sounded pretty enthusiastic about being back with the Bulls. It sounds like even if the pay wasn't what he wanted, and he addressed reporters for the first time on Tuesday since signing that.
So we have to sit up there the most important part of Nico's thing, of Nico's availability.
And what would that be?
Nico Watch has been replaced by a very prominent NBA Twitter meme, Muscle Watch. He has put on 23 pounds. He said he ended the season weighing 237,
I believe.
237, now he's 260.
And that came as he spent almost the entire season in Chicago foregoing his national team commitment with Spain, which he did at least the previous 2 years, I think maybe the previous 3 years.
Yeah.
Had spent quite a bit of time with the Spanish national team. That, of course, is what the Bulls wanted. You were at practice, I wasn't at practice, like, how chiseled does he look here? Like, is this completely new Nico?
Well, I think the most telling thing, and we didn't actually get to see it, but Robin Lopez also talked to us, and you know, one of the things Nico said was that he's trying to learn how to like play on the low block more, as opposed to just being kind of an outside shooter in a stretch four. And so we asked Robin about that because you know that's more Robin's game, like playing on the block, being kind of a more traditional post up center. And Robin said that at one point during practice today, he was trying to drive to the basket, and Nico checked him so hard that he still has the imprints on his chest, and he offered to take his shirt off to show us, and people ended up not taking him up on that. But that's something that Robin Lopez said. So Robin Lopez is vouching for Nico's jackness.
So Nico didn't necessarily knock him to the floor, but knocked some sense into him, maybe.
And Robin Lopez is a big dude, so that's...
Robin is a beast. I mean, you know... We watched Pau Gasol, Joakim Noah, Taj Gibson for their first several years covering the Bulls.
Nazi Muhammad.
And then Robin Lopez comes over, and you think the game's physical, and then you watch him for a season with the Bulls up close and in person, and look, like, we've seen a lot of physical guys play on other teams, a lot of physical basketball on TV, but till you see, like, a guy like him playing every night and people just bouncing off again and again and again, just literally bouncing off of him and sometimes falling to the floor. Like, you don't realize how physical a guy like Lopez is. So if Nico can, I mean, just torment Robin any degree in practice or prove a point against him, it will speak volumes to Nico. And look, every single offseason, guys say they bulk up and work out harder than ever before and then come back to camp, sometimes reflecting that and sometimes not reflecting
right.
that whatsoever at all. I think some of us yearn for the era of when Shaq would just show up out of shape and say he was out of shape and say he was going to play himself into shape on the Lakers' diamond at training camp and early in the season. But nowadays, it's in vogue to just say you're in the best shape of your life. Classic training camp storyline, whether it's basketball, any other sport. But you're vouching for Nico actually looking jacked and this having an effect. How much of an effect do you think it will have on the floor? How will it translate? 260s, I mean, that's much bigger than he was. How do you see this playing out?
Well, I mean, any kind of change like that is going to be good for him. I mean, you know, the hope is that, you know, with his body more filled out, he's going to be able to actually, maybe it'll add to his confidence. I don't know. Maybe he was feeling like he was lighter than he wanted to be. I don't know.
I think the main thing here is that he can play more two-way basketball. Okay, look, what has Nico done so far for the Bulls? He's been a sometimes effective spot-up shooter to stretch the floor, and when I say sometimes effective, he's a career 35% three-point shooter, I believe, which is just about league average. Mm-hmm. So, not as good as he wants to be. Now, getting that out of your power forward, a four guy, is acceptable. Like, that's helpful. But most of his success, if I remember the numbers right, often come below the break from the corner and such. He hasn't shot as effectively just everywhere on the floor. And on the nights when he's been inconsistent, when his game has been off, and there's been plenty of them, and we all know this, we've beaten the dead horse on this topic, and this is his focus, it's always his focus. Part of the reason it's so glaring and jarring is because he's not doing anything else on the floor. Like, he's not a premier defender. He's not grabbing 12 rebounds. Like, he averages five and a half rebounds per game for his career. And this is a guy that has played quite a few minutes, too. So, if anything, I think the purpose of Nico getting jacked up is that he can be a better defender against a wider range of opposing players. And he can also be a better rebounder. Look, he needs to be a better rebounder for the Bulls. I know they're not going to contend in this two-year window of his current contract, but if he plays well, he could stick with them past those 2 years, or he can be a trade chip in that second year. And if nothing else, someone on the Bulls has to grab a rebound in the next 2 years, and at some point, Robin Lopez will probably be traded. So Lauri Markkanen, not a good rebounder yet. I know he has great tip dunks for Finland in Eurobasket and has flashed some offensive rebounding ability, but that was a knock on him, his rebounding ability all around. And that's a guy that Nico will probably get quite a few minutes with at some point, because Fred wants to run all five shooters out there. He's already mentioned that like twice in the first 2 days.
I think that's
important.
I think we're going to see a lot of, and I know Markkanen mostly played power forward in college, I think we're going to see some lineups where Nico plays the four and Markkanen plays the five. So you have shooters out there at both front court positions.
I mean, is that something that you're really looking forward to in that regard? Like, I think
it'll be interesting.
Things that can really intrigue us this season surrounding the Bulls. Like, I feel like five shooters lineup certainly could be one of them, right? Like,
yeah.
The other one is that, like, the five shooters lineup, like, Nico's already throwing some shade back at Jimmy and D-Wade because he's saying the Bulls can play offense like we used to play, quote, with Rajon on that second unit. He was talking about they could play fast. There's no holding the ball. No isolation is how the Bulls are going to play. I mean, was that just direct shade right at D-Wade and Jimmy? Or, like, what was the context of him
saying
that?
That's what I think it was. And although it's worth noting that Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer, when that tweet, when those quotes came out, he tweeted, like, some on-off numbers for what Jimmy and Wade were on the bench, and they were pretty abysmal. But, I mean, we know that's going to be the case with the Bulls. I'm actually really interested to see how the positional battle plays out with the power forward, because the last couple of years when Nico, you know, was in the running to get the starting power forward spot, he was competing with guys like, you know, Joakim Noah, Pau Gasol, Taj Gibson, these kind of more veteran guys. Now he's the veteran guy. You got Bobby Portis going into his third year who has been inconsistent. And then you have Lauri Markkanen, who's a rookie. And Nico, I would assume, opens the training camp as the favorite to be the starter. But he's got, now he's kind of got these other two young guys in the position that he was in trying to compete with the veteran guys. He's got these guys trying to take that spot from him. I'm interested to see how he responds to that over the course of camp.
Yeah, that'll certainly be a storyline. Do you think, someone tweeted this the other night, and I wish I remembered who it was, but this obviously includes when Zach LaVine comes back. Can the Bulls be like a sneaky good NBA League Pass watch? And by that, I mean a team that's going to be awful, but at least entertaining in some ways, maybe? Or is this just wishful thinking on my part? I see the tweet and nod and smile and go like, yeah, that'd be better for covering 41 home games this year if, like, when they're bad, at least they're entertainingly bad in the way they play stylistically. Do you see any merit in that one?
I mean, I think there will be certain lineups they could throw out that'll be kind of fun. Like, if you, like, once LaVine is healthy, you can throw out, like, you know, like you said, the five shooters lineup where you go maybe like LaVine,
Denzel,
Zipser, meet Nico and Markkanen as your starting five.
Who plays the point guard in that situation?
Levine. I mean, he's not a point guard, but he played some point. Or Denzel.
So,
Denzel can run point.
This is classic. The Bulls could trot out a five-shooter lineup that doesn't include a point guard because not one of their point guards can shoot. That is the current standing of the point guard. Well, remember, Jaren Grant can shoot when he has a player like Jimmy Butler to draw attention away from him and spot up. Again, my guy Jaren, I'm the only member of the island still.
I'm still on the island.
You joined the island late, and you joined at a weird time. You joined, like, after they traded Jimmy Butler or something, after you hem and hawed with your raft deciding which island to go to.
I have properties on multiple islands.
You just keep a little small property on every island just so you can go there and live. That's me just throwing shade at your takes now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm posted up with the mansion on Jaren Grant Island that's probably no one's on the island.
Are you accusing me of having just a small plot of land on, let's say, Zipser Island? Because I'm all in on that.
No,
I founded that. I'm all in on Zipser.
I'm all in
on Big Chris.
You founded that. You're the leader of that one. But yeah, I just think... I have no idea what to expect out of Jaren Grant, honestly, this year, because he hasn't proved that he can play well, at least. Look, we look up more empirical hard evidence here, but anecdotally, remembering and just knowing that his best numbers came when he was alongside Jimmy and kind of starting for that stretch, like, I don't know what he can do with other bad players on the floor. I don't know what he can do when there's not a lead playmaker on the floor, and that's concerning, no doubt, but I will continue to give a little bit of hope and optimism that he can be anything, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. We'll see.
He had stretches last year. I mean, the thing with Jaren is he's just indecisive a lot of time. Whenever he's decisive, whenever he gets the ball early in the shot clock and decides he's going to throw a pass or decides he's going to take a shot.
Well, the Bulls should be more decisive offensively this year. Like, again, like, we can't stress how much, like, Jimmy Butler held the ball. And that's what they were best at the last few years. But
and Jimmy
Fred
Butler,
Hoiberg despises that.
And Jimmy Butler is so good that you can, you know, look past him doing that because you see what the results were.
Well, and also, because Jimmy expanded his game when it came to sharing the ball, you could still get good shots. And also because he was an elite player at drawing fouls and getting to the free throw line where he's very good, that it made it worthwhile. Not as efficient as they wanted, but like when you had all things considered, it was on many nights their best option. But it was so incongruent in past years. Like you'd have Rajon Rondo in the second unit flying around the court, and then you get Jimmy and Dwayne walking back out, and it's like ground and pound 4-yard runs, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
After you go air raid offense or something for 4 or 5 minute stretches. So we could see some wild things. Like, the Bulls could hoist 63 pointers and make like 10 of them in a game this year, and I wouldn't be shocked. Maybe not 60, but maybe that's a bold prediction coming up sometime soon. Like, Bulls shoot 54 3 pointers in a game or something.
Well, I mean, there'll be some moments like that where, you know, just like randomly Markkanen is going to go off and hit like 8 3-pointers in a game or something, or something like that.
I mean,
but like, by and large, I don't think we can say the Bulls are going to be a top league pass team. They're going to be pretty ugly to watch a lot of the time.
Okay, you just shot that notion down, and I probably agree with you, and it was a little wishful thinking.
We got 5 minutes of podcast out of it.
That's true. Other big news of the day, multiple reports indicating...
Well, hold on, one more housekeeping. Hoiberg did say that Zach LaVine is pretty much unlimited in terms of the stuff he can do in terms of non-contact, like playing one-on-one, and I saw him after practice with one of the players, with one of the
player development
people, like working on cuts, getting some shots up. So he can pretty much do anything he wants as far as non-contact stuff, but Hoiberg stressed that they're still sticking to the 9-month timeline before they're going to consider clearing, even though he's ahead of schedule, they're still going to stick with the 9 months before clearing him for full contact stuff. So that puts him, since he got injured in February, that means November is when he'll be cleared for contact, and then it'll be a few weeks before he's back in game shape. So we're still looking at like maybe December for a return.
Gotcha. And the big news of the day is the man that Zach LaVine will replace, Dwayne Wade, obviously agreed to a buyout with the Bulls on Sunday night. Reports indicate he's planning on signing with the Cleveland Cavaliers sometime Wednesday after he clears waivers. It'll be a 1-year $2.3 million deal,
I believe,
which is the minimum for a man with D-Wade's stature by way of experience and years in the NBA, teaming up with good friend, best friend,
Banana Boat Squad member,
LeBron James, of course. And I guess as soon as D-Wade agreed to that buyout, I think we both said Cavs because they've been working out together. And just, I mean, the number of times Dwayne Wade spoke about
we've been saying that
LeBron James last year was outrageous.
We've been saying that he's going to end up on the Cavs since, like, the day Jimmy Butler got traded.
Yeah, so I didn't think it was this soon. I did not think it would
be this soon. We've been
good on the Bulls for getting the deal buyout done.
Right. I just want to say how crazy it is that Let's go back to 2010 free agency.
What were the Bulls trying to do?
They were trying to sign LeBron and Wade when the big three went to Miami and team them up with Derrick Rose. Now those three are all teamed up together, and Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade are on minimum contracts.
The Bulls.
It's so wild. I'm not even saying that as like a, oh well, the Bulls didn't get these guys thing. I'm just saying it's like if you had told me 7 years ago that Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade are both going to be minimum salary guys in 2017, like that's just wild to me.
Yeah, and that those three could ever end up in the same spot.
And I know Wade's minimum salary has an asterisk because he's still getting the Bulls money, but still, it's like
yeah. And Derrick Rose saying, he never held any ill will whatsoever against those guys, but they were competitors. Yeah. I mean, that was the foe, and he famously said, "I'll roll with Keith Bogans at shooting guard after they didn't get Dwayne Wade or LeBron James," which is just like. I mean, that was his mindset, and now they're all together trying to make one last run at a championship, get to the NBA Finals against the Warriors, see what happens. I still got the Cavs as the favorite in the East to get to the Finals. I do not think they'll win the most games in the regular season, certainly, because they don't take that seriously anymore. What was your thoughts here? How does Dwayne Wade fit in? What was your initial reaction?
Well, this is kind of interesting. My buddy Tim Cato from SB Nation wrote a story today that I thought was interesting, which basically suggested that until Isaiah Thomas is ready to play, and indications from Cavs Media Day yesterday are that that's going to be maybe like late December, early January when his hip is going to be ready to go.
Okay.
The assumption now is that Derrick Rose is going to be the starting point guard. Tim kind of suggested maybe Dwayne Wade should start at point guard, and you start Wade and have Wade handle the ball, and then, you know, have JR, LeBron, whoever else on the floor with him. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Who is Jay Crowder going to get any starting minutes? No?
No, because they're going to start Love and Tristan in the front court.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I mean, hypothetically, you could. JR's the incumbent starting shooting guard, but Crowder probably doesn't bring enough shooting like JR and doesn't fit.
JR is also a better defender than Wade or Rose.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying, like, Crowder started for an Eastern Conference finalist, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
he did,
has
but
that pedigree, and you could, I bet he'll get a lot of minutes at the four still, when they need to be better defensively.
Right, but the Celtics were an Eastern Conference finalist because somebody had to play against Cleveland in the Eastern Conference finals. Like, let's just get that part clear. Like,
yes, and their front office agreed.
But the thing is, you can't, like, if you start, maybe, I don't know, maybe Wade is willing to come off the bench because he's with LeBron and he's competing for a championship. Maybe his mindset changes.
What an amazing Cavaliers training camp storyline. Who will win the final starting spot, Derrick Rose or Dwayne Wade? I mean, that is something.
Because I feel like you can't start both of them because then you have, between those two and Love, you have absolutely no defense. And LeBron, I mean, LeBron's still a good defender when he wants to be, but he's not the defender he was 5 years ago.
I'm not worried about so much who's going to start or interested in. I'm most interested in who's going to close games. And don't you feel like Dwayne Wade's going to close quite a bit of games for the Cavs, especially with Isaiah out, that he'll be a closer out there? Because LeBron will want him out there. And look, he's not afraid to shoot big shots. He doesn't nowhere near where he used to be, but on a team that's better, that goes to the NBA Finals every year, like, Dwayne Wade should look a little better too, be a little more comfortable, have a little more space to operate, and can still be a good decision maker, if he puts his mind to it, you know? So I think he'll be out there in crunch time.
So let's say everybody's healthy for the Cavs. Like, let's say Isaiah Thomas is an option. Like, what should, like, I think there's probably something to LeBron. If LeBron is the one calling the shots, like, Wade will probably be out there because that's his boy. But I feel like their best closing lineup would probably be Isaiah, JR, LeBron, Love, and Tristan.
See, I was
on... Crowder kind of has
to... I was going to say you could put Crowder at the four with the game on the line and do some offense-defense subs with Love and Thompson. And then go with JR, Isaiah, and LeBron as well. Like, if, because if, that the problem with the Cavs that I see to compete at the highest level and even maybe have some problems in the Eastern Conference and such is that they don't have a lot of two-way players if they have Thompson, Love, and Isaiah Thomas out there. And look, JR can, he's a two-way player.
He's made himself into a pretty good defender.
Yeah, when his mind is to it, but a lot of nights he's still a one-way player because he's bricking everything or not trying defensively. So there's just so few two-way players that I feel like, look, Jay Crowder is not a transcendent offensive talent by any measure. He's a limited offensive player, but he can still knock down an open shot and is still someone, again, who has proven himself to be kind of dependable in that way.
I still feel like you have to have JR out there for the spacing, because if you have Rose and Wade out there, neither of those guys are three-point shooters. Like, that's just, and LeBron isn't the shooter he was a few years ago either, so it's like, that's just, the only three-point shooter in that lineup is Love. Like, you need to have more shooting there.
Yeah, so Ty Lue has some really tough roster decisions when everyone's healthy. It's an old team, though. They're really old. If they're not the oldest team in the NBA, I think they are the oldest team in the
NBA. They've got to be up there.
They're one of the few. Like, they'll all be injured at some point.
Did you know that Bulls legend Jose Calderon is on the Cavs?
I did. I only knew that because I saw LeBron take a picture, like, before training camp started of everyone working out in L.A. or somewhere.
Now that they have Rose and Wade
and Calderon,
and like, how much of a waste of a roster spot is Calderon?
The Bulls' DNA is just everywhere.
By the way, did you know that Jeff Green is on the Cavs too?
I completely forgot.
Jeff Green is on the Cavs.
No, I completely forgot. I completely 100% forgot that, to be honest. You know, there's probably media members in Cleveland, like, there's not room for sound bites from Jeff Green at any point probably in the entire season. By the time you got LeBron, D-Wade, Derrick Rose, Isaiah Thomas,
Jay Crowder talk some stuff.
Yeah, well, Jay Crowder will be mad about fans or something by at least the third game of the season. He's always mad about something. He's always like Instagramming something, like some beef he has.
John Wall's gonna poke his nose at some point.
Yeah, like, I mean, they have Crowder and Isaiah, like, some of that Wizards hate's coming over, that the Celtics had so much pent-up rage against the Wizards. So I hope that rivalry keeps going.
By the way, Celtics
is terrific, but now some of the key guys are gone in the Celtics side.
By the way, without looking, can you tell me who wears number 3 for the Cavs right now?
Nope.
Isaiah Thomas.
Oh. What's Korver wear? I don't know.
26.
I forget. Kyle Korver's on the team. They don't even have room for him to, like, play more than 12 minutes.
Right. It's crazy. But, like, Isaiah Thomas is wearing number 3 because Iman Shumpert, another guy who's still on the roster, wears number 4, which is what he wore in Boston. So he had to switch to number 3 because of Iman Shumpert when he got traded. And now Dwayne Wade is going to come in. There's no way Dwayne Wade's not going to wear number 3. So now Isaiah's going to have to change his number, like, during camp. Is he going to take that as, he's a guy with a chip on his shoulder anyway because he's been traded so many times. He was really mad when Boston traded him. Is this going to be another sign?
Yeah, this camp thing's really interesting. Because, like you said, Isaiah and Jay Crowder have such huge chips on their shoulders at every point in life. And the rest of the Cavs team just gives zero care about the regular season. Doesn't really care about the first round of the playoffs. He's kind of trying in the second round. Like, when game 3 on the road, they'll probably play the Raptors on game 3 on the road and be like, all right, we got to notch it up a little bit here and take care of business.
Right.
Just so this doesn't get out of hand. Like, they care about, like, nothing.
They care about 1.5 playoff series, the Warriors in the finals, and then half of the conference finals.
Yeah, and, like, who knows what Derek's going to say this year in Cleveland. Like, probably some super team comments or something soon.
Well, any team that has LeBron on it is a super team, so that's actually not inaccurate.
Yeah, I don't think they're... You can't be that old and be a super
team. Any team that has LeBron on it is a super team. That's my take.
Okay, well, build a team from scratch. But we'll keep an eye on all that madness, of course. And the latest from Bulls training camp as they continue with two-a-days for the days to come. You can follow Sean on Twitter at Hyken, myself at Cody Westerland, Lockdown Bulls. It's on Twitter and Facebook by its name. Email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Please email us and tweet us your bold predictions so when we get around to that episode sooner or later, sometimes we got to let the bold predictions brew and just kind of simmer in our mind, get the boldest, best, hottest takes we can have with these predictions We'll be thinking of those, so take your time and then send us yours as well for that upcoming episode at point in time to be announced. Most of all, please do subscribe to the podcast.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL. All 30 NBA teams have their own Locked On podcast. All 32 NFL teams have their own Locked On podcast. So whatever you're interested in either of those leagues, got something for you on the network. We'll be back with you guys soon. Thanks for listening.